And we want to get right to our midweek political analyst because of the big political stories. President Trump's former lawyer pleading guilty to campaign finance violations, which he said he committed at the direction of then-candidate Donald Trump. And the president's former campaign chair, Paul Manafort, found guilty on bank and tax fraud charges.
Our political strategist join us. Well, one of them right now, Matt Mikowiak, Republican political strategist, is with me right here in Austin. Hi, Matt.
Welcome to Austin. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Me.
It's lovely to be here. And Corinne Jean-Pierre, Democratic political strategist, we are waiting on her. If she gets to the studio, we will bring her right in to this conversation. But Matt, so much news in the last 12 hours. How bad is this for the president?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that yesterday was Trump's worst day of his presidency. Exactly how bad, we don't know, right? There's still a lot we don't know. Now, there's more that we do know based on what happened yesterday. He had basically a horrible hour starting around 5 p.m. Eastern with the conviction of Paul Manafort and more to the point, the plea deal that Michael Cohen entered into.
You think the Cohen story is a bigger problem for the president than Manafort?
Unquestionably, and that's for a few reasons. One, the primary reason is obviously that Cohen and his allocution made clear that he was pleading to making the or getting reimbursed for the payment to the mistress at the direction of, quote, the candidate, presumably would have to be Donald Trump. And so it looks like there's someone who's making a claim that Trump ordered him to basically commit what I believe is a felony campaign finance violation.
Right.
There's obviously going to be a huge legal battle here over time. Whether that happens before or after the midterm elections, we simply don't know, because it's possible that Mueller and the Southern District of New York may wait till after the midterms to go forward more aggressively. Mm-hmm. But there are some huge questions here. Does Trump ultimately submit to a questioning by Mueller? Does Mueller believe that a sitting president can be indicted? There's some open question about whether the Justice Department manual allows for that or not. And obviously, whether a grand jury would indict the president for this campaign finance violation. Huge questions. We don't know the answers. Obviously, a lot of developments still to come.
Well, Matt, as you well know, many analysts are now saying that at the very least, the president is now an unindicted co-conspirator, a phrase that became very familiar when Richard Nixon was the same thing during the Watergate hearings. It's not company that you really want to keep. And here's Michael Cohen's lawyer, Lanny Davis, speaking on Morning Edition today on President Trump's culpability in Cohen paying that hush money to one of the women, Stormy Daniels.
He is a criminal, by the words of his own attorneys, in directing somebody else. Why didn't he sign the check to Stormy Daniels? Because he didn't want people to know about his role. So he not only directed a crime, he's part of a cover-up.
And Matt, again, Matt Mikowiak, who's the Republican political strategist. We don't mean to lean on you too much, but Corinne Jean-Pierre, our Democratic political strategist, is apparently, getting into a seat. Lots of traffic and stuff out there. But Matt, I direct this again to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this just not look good. And here we have a president who's been tweeting all morning, saying that Michael Cohen is a rat and, don't hire this lawyer. What would you be advising right now?
Well, I mean, we could do an hour on the legal decisions the Trump team's made over the last 2 years. And I think there will probably be law professors who teach a class on the strategic choices the legal team ultimately made or didn't make. But I think what I'd say right now is, if you're the president, obviously he's under siege right now, and there's a lot of uncertainty. He probably feels very much hurt by the fact that his personal lawyer turned against him, taped him, presumably may have violated lawyer-client attorney privilege. There's so much there, right?
Yeah, and now, hurt. I'm sure there are a lot of people right now who are not as concerned about the president's bruised feelings, that this happened, because he's the one who surrounded himself with these people.
Oh, there's no question. And I just finished my Washington Times column for tomorrow, and I make the point in there, and I've said on Twitter, surrounding yourself with shady characters, with distrust of people you can't trust, with people who aren't qualified, who don't have credibility, there's no question that Trump has put himself in this position, surrounding himself with these kinds of people.
We interviewed Beto O'Rourke this morning, who's running for Senate in Texas against Ted Cruz, and he's being very careful about the question of impeachment after all of this, because Democrats in general are a little scared of going down that road, because it might actually end up being bad for them. What do you think? Would it be good for Republicans if Democrats started saying, let's impeach the president?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, what Democrats are worried about right now is they're worried about motivating Republicans to turn out in the midterms. Midterms are generally base elections. Presidential elections have higher turnout, higher minority turnout, et cetera. So, you know, presidential elections and midterms are very different. This midterm, I think, is going to have high turnout. It's going to be more like a presidential election, but it's not going to be all the way there. But no, there's no question, I think, that the Democrats, I think, intend to move articles of impeachment if they take the House back. I imagine they'll do it in the first 90 days. You already had 56, I think, or 60 House members vote to impeach the president with Al Green's resolution a few months ago. But to Beto O'Rourke, look, he told Showtime's The Circus a couple months ago that he would support articles of impeachment at that time. He's kind of stepped back from that because
he's saying he wants to wait until the investigation is over now about the question of impeachment.
Well, sure. And that's a more reasonable position to take, particularly since senators would be casting their vote as part of the trial portion of impeachment, right? The House chooses to impeach or not, and the Senate chooses to remove from office or not, which is a 2/3 vote. Keep that in mind.
Right.
Look, it would help Republicans if Democrats talked about impeachment. It's part of the reason why Republicans are talking about Democrats impeaching Trump if they take office.
Well, Corinne Jean-Pierre, again, a Democratic political strategist who's taken her seat, and thank you so much. Thanks for making your way
thanks,
here.
Robin. Thanks, James.
But what do you think? Because this has been a benefit for the Republicans. We have seen this happening where the Republicans ginning up this notion that Democrats were looking to impeach the president prior to this week was ginning up the Trump base. Now, what do you think Democrats should do?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because as we saw from yesterday, impeachment totally came back to the table because we saw something that we never thought we would see. I mean, you have the president's former campaign chair, is guilty of 8 counts, and then you have his personal lawyer pleaded guilty and basically said that he was directed by a candidate, seemingly the president of the United States, to do what he did when it came to campaign finance. This is the way that I look at it for Democrats. We have so many things to run on. If you look at the data, just the election data from 2016, it's been enthusiasm. The enthusiasm is on our side. Healthcare is the number one issue for Democrats right now. That's how we were able to do so well in Virginia almost a year ago and got some crossovers, got some suburban moms in the Virginia area to vote for a Democratic governor, and look what we did in the assembly. So healthcare, to me, is an issue that is really resonating that Democrats are running on. Yes, corruption is going to play a role, especially in some districts, and there will be some Democratic candidates that will talk about it. But we actually have real issues, bread and butter issues that matter to people, and that I think Democratic candidates are lucky in the sense that they have something to talk about that's
well,
not
Corinne,
just corruption.
One of the issues that is coming right up, in fact, in the next couple of weeks, is a question of a Supreme Court nomination, a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court that President Trump has made the nomination, and we'll see what happens in the Senate. Matt, there are some people saying today that should be delayed because of what just happened here, that he shouldn't have the ability at this moment, with all the legal clouds hanging over him, to put somebody on the court for life.
Yeah, I think that's fairly ridiculous and honestly is not going to factor, I think, into the final decision to confirm or not confirm. You've now had, 2.5 months or so for senators to review his record. I think record amount of pages of material have been turned over. I know there have been some questions about papers from his time when he was staff secretary, but that's not his work product. He's basically a traffic cop. He's not weighing in as he was when he was associate general counsel in the White House or a private lawyer or, of course, on the second highest court in the land, which he's been on for the last decade or so. So the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings are going to go forward starting September 4th. I imagine it'll be 3 or 4 days, get a lot of attention, and I imagine that Kavanaugh will be confirmed with 53, 54, 55 votes by the end of September.
Which would mean some Democrats would support him too.
Yeah, I predict at least 3 and maybe as many as 5 or 6 Democrats will ultimately support. You had 3 that supported the last Supreme Court nominee that Trump made. Trump made the nomination. It's already happened. It happened 3 months ago. And now it's up to the Senate to advise and consent.
Well, Matt, as you well know, there are Democrats who would probably say the Republicans held up an Obama nomination for far less. But I do want to ask you, because we haven't asked about Paul Manafort. And there's widespread speculation that Manafort did not risk a guilty plea in exchange for working with the Mueller investigation, as his associate Rick Gates did or as Michael Cohen did, because he knew Trump would pardon him. Should he? If Trump does pardon Manafort to impede the Russia investigation, he's committed a crime.
Well, that's a big question. Yeah. What I would say is one fact we do know about the Manafort conviction, and of course he has another trial in September in D.C. on, I believe, federal charges. But one fact we know about Manafort is that Russia had collusion, conspiracy, foreign money had nothing to do with his trial. Mm. His trial had to do with lobby practices, bank records, things like that that predated his time with the Trump campaign. Look, I'm generally in favor of presidents not pardoning people in ways that help themselves. That's not what the pardon power was for, but the Constitution doesn't limit the pardon power in any real way. There's been a lot of speculation that Trump may ultimately pardon Manafort. I don't know that he and Manafort are all that close, so I'm not sure that necessarily will happen, but we'll have to see.
That is Matt Mikowiak here with me in Austin. He's a Republican political strategist, and we at least got a few minutes there with Karine Jean-Pierre, Democratic political strategist. Mm-hmm. Thanks to both of you for coming in.